This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been just over a week since Baltimore's airwaves were full of news reports like this.
The operation of cleaning up the collapse drew onlookers as cranes attempted to move the eight vehicles carried away by the landslide.
That's WIPR's Kenneth Burns reporting the day after the collapse of the large retaining wall that separated the unit block of East 26th Street from the CSX railroad tracks below in Charles Village, Baltimore. The reason that retaining wall existed in the first place has to do with a rail station that was never built. It's the subject of a news analysis published today in the Baltimore Brew. It was written by Mark Reuter, a reporter for the Brew and past editor of the journal Railroad History. He's spoken with us before about railroads, and he joins me now on the line from his home. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Now, to start, tell us about the history of these railroad tracks in Baltimore City. When were they built? Why were they built? For what kind of trains?
Okay, this line, the current CXS line, was built in the 1890s by the predecessor B&O Railroad in order for the B&O, which then terminated at Camden Station, to have a line that went through Baltimore over to East Baltimore and then would continue to Philadelphia and eventually to New York. This was their plan in order to compete with the Pennsylvania Railroad and to gather up traffic for their line.
And the B&O Railroad was known for its ability to tunnel. So why was this stretch left open?
Well, that's what's very interesting. The majority of the 26th Street line, the part of the line on the railroad, is tunneled. But this particular section, very deep down, was actually cut open by the railroad in order to put a station that they thought they were going to build at Charles and 26th Street. But once they got city ordinance to do that, but then they decided instead to build their new station at Mount Royal Avenue.
So this Charles Village station just never got built.
It never got built, but what was there in its place was a very deep hole, 35 feet deep, very wide hole, which has in many ways bedeviled the railroad as well as the community ever since.
And the track is open, not just that one block between Charles and St. Paul where the collapse was. I mean, there's a stretch to the east that's open and also to the west. Was all that left open for a potential station?
Well, around 60% of 26th Street is tunneled. The tunnel starts at Howard Street and goes continuously to the east of Charles. Then this special opening excavation was built between Charles and St. Paul. Then the line continued to Calvert Street. And east of Calvert Street, present-day Guilford and Barclay, was so rural at that point, and the hill that they faced was actually getting lower, that they just decided to have an open cut there. There's a smaller open cut around Huntington Avenue. So that's sort of the situation.
Well, now that this wall has collapsed, what options does the city have?
Well, what the city, you know, is proposing without much debate is to just go ahead and rebuild this retaining wall with maybe some sort of, you know, better steel that could last, you know, for more years. What I wanted to bring out into the table is that this hole was really a mistake to start off with. It didn't serve the purpose it was meant to be. It's been a very deep hole that actually obstructs Charles and St. Paul Street, a very urban area. It means that the noise of those trains, if you lived around there, you hear them grinding up the grade all the time. There's plumes of smoke that come out and go over Margaret Brent School when a train passes. And in this case of most cities, Chicago, New York, even Los Angeles, San Francisco, many of these open cuts and old, you know, 100-year-old rail lines have been covered over. It's called air rights. And I think that by putting a cover over the rail track down there, which would be two side walls and a top, and filling in this area, I don't know what the cost is. I don't think it would be a particularly large amount of money. Could actually create parklands and deal with a number of these problems and with this persistent problem that these retaining walls there and further east around Guilford have been falling down, and they are always leaking water. So they've been a persistent problem. This is a way to deal with it.
So that's a big idea, is that, well, first of all, there's a lot of work going on, right? There's a lot of workmen around that site. I checked it out yesterday afternoon. Are they just sort of doing basic shore-up work, or are they moving ahead to, as you say, repeat history and creating exactly the same retaining wall that just collapsed?
Right. Well, they're, I think, in the process, the very beginning process, this will take a long time of getting a retaining wall up. I think we really need to stop for a second. The rail line is intact. There's service on the line. They've cleared the mud and debris that was on the tracks, so that's stabilized. They're now really checking to see if the houses nearby are stable. So we really have some time now to relook at this block and some of the other blocks to see, you know, can't we turn this into an asset and deal with this problem? What I think is really important to know is that the federal government in particular has been awarding cities lots of money for rail infrastructure. There's a big push to get new tunnels, new bridges, and other stuff. So there's a lot of available money, and to tunnel over and extend a tunnel for one block is not a particularly challenging engineering feat. Another factor is that CXS believes that this freight line, which now has 20 mainline freights a day, freight trains, is going to have a large increase in business with the coming of the Panama Canal enlargement. So that whole area is liable to be affected by really continuous train traffic that comes up. And again, it's quite noisy and smelly right in that spot.
We're almost out of time, but I do want to ask, you mentioned other cities. Generally, after a disaster, when there's rebuilding, does that generally lead to new and better infrastructure?
In many cases, it does. It should lead, especially when in a case like transportation, railroads, highways, to at least rethinking through, okay, we've had, you know, in Minneapolis, a bridge that fell down. There's other things that happen. Is there a way to leverage this disaster into making, you know, a real positive contribution for Baltimore in the future? And this hole has been a sore spot in an important community for many, many years. So it seems like it's very much worth the community and others to look at this and say, hey, you know, do we have an opportunity here to, you know, make something out of this really unfortunate situation?
Mark, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Mark Reuter is a reporter for the Baltimore Brew. His analysis about the street collapse was published today. We have a link on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Moore.